This is David Barsamian of Alternative Radio. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of the March 3rd, 2016 edition of Tell Somebody. This was a live broadcast with Alternative Radio's David Barsamian on the phone as we entered the final month of the weekly, regularly scheduled broadcast. I do plan to produce an occasional show when I can, so do keep an eye on the blog pages, tellsomebody.us and tellsomebody.libsyn.com. Like the Facebook page, www.facebook.com/tellsomebodynow, and follow me on Twitter at tellsomebodynow. Send me an email. The address is mail@tellsomebody.us. Reading now a couple of excerpts found at alternativeradio.org, one of America's most tireless and wide-ranging investigative journalists, David Barsamian has altered the independent media landscape, both with his weekly radio show, Alternative Radio, and his books with Noam Chomsky, Iqbal Ahmad, Howard Zinn, Tariq Ali, Richard Wolff, Arundhati Roy, and Edward Said. His latest book of interviews with Noam Chomsky is called Power Systems. His best-selling books with Chomsky have been translated into many languages. He lectures on world affairs, imperialism, capitalism, propaganda, the media, the economic crisis, and global rebellions. Alternative Radio, established in 1986, is a weekly one-hour public affairs program offered free to all public radio stations in the U.S., Canada, Europe, and beyond. AR provides information, analyses, and views that are frequently ignored or distorted in other media. The program airs on over 185 radio stations, including 90.1 FM KKFI at 9 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday mornings. Let's get to the broadcast with David Barsamian right now. Good morning, hello, and welcome to Tell Somebody. This is your host, Tom Clammer. This morning on Tell Somebody, we've got David Barsamian on the phone, the executive producer, founder, host of Alternative Radio. We'll get to that in just a minute. I want to toss out just a couple of things first. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/tellsomebodynow, on Twitter, @tellsomebodynow. And I would like to make note, a lot of you have probably heard that former cab driver, author, homelessness activist Richard Tripp has died of lung cancer. Frequent guest on this show and elsewhere on the air on KKFI. Our warm feelings to his family and friends. Stay tuned to this station. I'm sure we'll have word coming out on memorial services and such. Richard Tripp, dead at 67. He will be missed. Meanwhile, as I said, David Barsamian is on the line. You should have been listening yesterday morning to Alternative Radio, heard every Wednesday morning 9 to 10 a.m. right here on KKFI, right after Democracy Now. David, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Always a pleasure to be on tell somebody, and on my favorite community radio station in Kansas City, KKFI.
Well, we're always tickled to have you and appreciate the wonderful shows you've been bringing us over the years. And I don't have a real sharp particular topic. I just wanted to have a conversation with you on the state of media, the state of the world. I understand you're just returned from Lebanon. We'd like to hear a little bit about that, and we will be taking calls a little later in the show. So have your number-punching finger at the ready.
Okay, as long as you don't ask me if the Kansas City Royals are going to repeat as world champions. I don't dare go out on that limb.
Well,
it's too controversial.
Plus,
it's national security involved.
We know
like
it's going
to
happen.
But I would like to talk about my trip to Lebanon. I just got back on Monday night. It was the first time I've been in Lebanon in the last more than 5 years. It has a very special place for me in our family history. My parents met there in 1921 for the first time and got married, and from Beirut, they sailed via France to New York, where they settled. And so I have that connection with Lebanon. And I hadn't been there since the uprisings of 2011 and the subsequent downrisings, if I can coin a term, throughout the Arab Middle East. You were listening to a segment on Democracy Now! About Libya, which is basically another broken state, thanks to the U.S. intervention that was so much promoted by then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Apparently, according to the New York Times, Barack Obama was somewhat reluctant to get involved in Libya, but Hillary, with the force of her personality and persuasion, was able to persuade Obama to join the French-British bombing campaign of that fractured country. Another broken state. The entire region is just aflame right now in various stages of uprisings. Egypt is, I hesitate to use the term enjoying, but it is enjoying under General Sisi, who's a U.S. ally, probably one of the most repressive regimes in its storied history. Brutal attacks on demonstrators, democracy activists, bloggers. Thousands of people have been imprisoned, tortured. But, you know, the U.S. is pretty much satisfied with that. There's an occasional scolding from Kerry, but nothing to interrupt the flow of arms and money to the military junta in Cairo, which overthrew a democratically elected government of Mohamed Morsi in July of 2013. Once again, Washington is on the wrong side. It is on the side of the autocrats, the tyrants, the military dictators, and the corrupt politicians. And the people are left wondering on the other side, where does the U.S. stand? Lebanon is kind of an island in that entire region. Beirut itself is an island within Lebanon in terms of relative tranquility. That's not to say that there isn't a car bombing and an occasional terrorist-related incident. But generally speaking, Lebanon is fairly calm, and Beirut is calm within Lebanon. Now, this, mind you, is a country of about 4 million people. I think it's a little bit smaller than New Jersey, so not a lot of land area. And there are about 1.5 million Syrian refugees now camping out all over Lebanon, putting a tremendous stress on the infrastructure of that country in terms of health services, housing. It's said that a whole generation of Syrian kids are not being educated because there are no schools for them to go to. The Lebanese schools are already themselves overtaxed. So it's a you know, a very fragile situation. And, you know, we have to go back to actions have consequences. And the incredibly criminal invasion of the United States of Iraq in March of 2003 excited and ignited sectarian tensions. Which is not to say they weren't there before, but the invasion and the disruption and the chaos that ensued, the dismantling of the Iraqi state, the firing of thousands and thousands of Ba'ath Party members. We're talking many, many people here, because you could not get a job in the government, in whatever ministry or the intelligence services or the army, without being a member of the Ba'ath Party. And so Paul Bremer, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
A major war criminal who's, you know, probably writing his memoir somewhere about, you know, we made a few mistakes. Oh, it'll always be in the passive voice, by the way. He'll never take responsibility. He dismantled the Iraqi state, you know, and this was all celebrated by Bush and Cheney. And, we're, you know, here was regime change in action. So the state collapses in a vacuum of anarchy. Various groups rise, including al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia. This is when Zarqawi comes from Jordan to Iraq to fight the Americans. And that has now spun, of course, into Syria with the rise of the Islamic State. And Libya as well. So actions have consequences. And so when you take a sledgehammer and smash it over the head of a fairly delicate and fragile state system, you can expect what has ensued, a tremendous amount of suffering and dislocation. Iraq and Syria not only have external refugees, which you know about because of the epic trek through Turkey and from Turkey by boat to Greek islands and then from there to Europe. But you have a massive number of internal refugees, people who have been forced to leave their homes in Iraq and Syria, on top of the external refugees. So it's a heartbreaking kind of a situation. And, you know, I think I've said enough that should provoke some questions from you. And if listeners want to call in and talk about U.S. Mideast policy, I'd be happy to talk to them.
Yeah, and we'll start taking calls pretty soon here. The number to call is 816-931-5534. 816-931-5534. KKFI. If I hear someone who was in the government at the time of the Iraq invasion one more time say, if we knew then what we know now, we wouldn't have made these quote unquote mistakes. I mean, a lot of us did know then what we know now. They just weren't listened to.
Transparent, not just in the United States, but in Europe and around the world, that the Bush drive to war, and this is all documented in the Downing Street memos, by the way, which go back to the summer of 2002, almost a full year before the invasion, when British intelligence told Tony Blair that the Bush administration was hell-bent on invading Iraq and would fit the facts to justify that invasion. And there are other documents have come out as well. Rumsfeld, Cheney, Bush, Wolfowitz, Fife, Alberto Gonzalez, all of these people should be facing war crimes tribunals in The Hague, not writing their memoirs, not getting $500,000 to speak at state universities, not being interviewed with reverence and respect as Charlie Rose interviewed Donald Rumsfeld recently on his particular program. But they should be called out for what they are, war criminals, and they should be prosecuted. This is a blot on the honor I hesitate to use that word because it's overused, but on the a good reputation of the United States, that people who commit crimes do not face account. They have there's no accountability. They do not face prosecution. Whereas if you and I, you know, fill up our gas tank at a gas station and drive away without paying, it's very likely we're going to go to jail.
Right, and we do have a caller, I believe, and my old pal Mike Murphy is here engineering, and I want to clearly invite him to hop in anytime he has something to say. But we have a caller. Caller, what's your name and what part of town are you calling from?
Jeremy in Lawrence, Kansas.
Well, Jeremy in Lawrence, what's your comment or question?
I wanted to, I agree with everything that's been said so far, and I wanted to talk about the problem of a scapegoating and in relationship to false flag terrorism in terms of the long history that the Israeli intelligence services have and American intelligence services have of doing terrorism against civilian targets and blaming it on their enemies. And one thing that maybe Mr. Barsamyan could address would be the in Barry Zwicker's book, The Towers of Deception, he mentions Mr. Barsamyan and alternative radio as one of a whole slew of the left alternative media that has not apparently dealt honestly and deeply with September 11th and the obvious false flag there, and the role of both U.S. and Israeli intelligence services in that plot. So I was wondering whether we could put some of those facts on the table